I first visited London several years ago, one of the first things I had to do was use the London Underground, the Tube, to find a performance venue. As my train arrived, I heard the words, "Mind the Gap," in a friendly, yet no-nonsense voice with, of course, a cool British accent. This struck me in several ways, the first of which was, leave it to the British to find a way to deliver crucially life-saving information in a way that made you feel like your grandmother was baking cookies, but if you ate too many, you'd go without dinner. After hearing this phrase numerous times in the course of my relatively brief visit, and seeing the ubiquitous logo, which has pretty much taken on a life of its own, apart from real passenger safety, the phrase itself became stuck in my mind and has become a sort of mental playground that I keep returning to in these intervening years. I have found this three-word, three-syllable phrase to be quite rich source material for mental grappling. In the London Metro, the real point of Mind the Gap is to make sure you don't trip on or otherwise get caught in the space created by the difference between a sometimes curved platform and the straight side of a train. Differing from station to station, sometimes this gap is a foot wide, and sometimes it's almost non-existent. Nonetheless, the announcement is heard at every station. To the best of my knowledge, I probably should go back and make sure I visit all 270-odd London stations, just to be sure. The saying was created in 1968 by the London Underground, not the rock band, as they moved to digital recorded messages. And while there are some stations where this gap is a real and serious safety issue deserving to be minded, there are plenty of times that a straight platform meets a straight car rather closely, yet the warning remains. No commuting experience in London would be complete without it. Thinking about the first word of this phrase, mind, has many of its own implications. Of course, the British give this safety warning in such a reserved and dignified way. In America, we start these types of messages with dire words like caution, warning, hazard. But using mind has a way of drawing attention while also making it feel like the hearer of the warning has the same opportunity to heed its message as listen to a Beethoven string quartet. Incidentally, as I was preparing for this, I noticed that other countries had adopted Mind the Gap. And of course, in New York, it's Watch the Gap. Come on, Americans, just, yeah. The word mind can have several meanings, some of which are, according to me, not Oxford's or Merriam-Webster. It can mean, one, pay attention to, mind the gap. Two, take care of, mind the store until I get back. Three, obey, mind your grandmother. Four, be bothered by, would you mind turning that music down? Each of these meanings can shed different light on the phrase. To pay attention to implies a cost to pay, some sort of effort. When we mind something in this context, it means that we are spending some part of our mental energy on it, and paying attention is certainly one of the most important things we do in our daily life. A friend of mine used to say, mimicking his grandfather, that doesn't cost anything to pay attention. And like many quippy sayings, there is both humor and truth to this. Ken was from South Carolina, so that's, you know. And yet it actually does cost us something to pay attention to an event, a person, or moving train. While many of us adhere to the myth of multitasking, brain scientists tell us that we are actually able to spend attention on only one thing at a time. In other words, when we are, for example, watching television, writing a sermon, petting our cat, and folding laundry, we are at best becoming adept at switching our attention from one thing to another so quickly that it seems simultaneous, but in actuality, is not. Likewise, the idea that we can text and drive at the same time, which I'm sure no one in this room has ever attempted, because I certainly never have, is a perfect manifestation of our society's fixation on not being satisfied paying attention to only one thing at a time, but deluding ourselves into thinking we can. Unfortunately, this is also a good example of what can happen when we aren't willing to acknowledge the limits of our ability to pay attention to one thing at a time. I find it interesting that mind can refer to both taking care of something or someone, being a minder to a visitor, as well as being subservient to mind your grandmother. This duality is very appealing to me as I meditate on it, but it's also a bit of a challenge that it serves both of those purposes. In combination with all its other definitions, whether mine or Oxford's or Merriam-Webster's, of being cautious of and being bothered by, all lead me to a certain conclusion. The ability to mind and be mindful implies an openness and neutrality to any and all outcomes regardless of intention. That's what got me so interested in this phrase. Let me set all that aside for a moment to talk about Gap. I hope it's okay to immediately dispense with the clothing chain store so commonly found in shopping malls. That's really not what I'm talking about. Though one could definitely be said to mind the Gap if one dislikes shopping moderately fashionable casual wear giant chain stores in general. The Gaps I'm talking about, for all intents and purposes, always a space of some kind. Can be a barrier, B, an unbridgeable space, C, a healthy border, or D, a place to rest. But to really dive into gaps, one of the essential truths in life is that we need gaps, depend on gaps, and are constantly confronted by gaps. Not only do we need gaps, we mostly are gaps. A hydrogen atom, for example, is 99.999999999996%, that's 12 nines, empty. Put another way, if a hydrogen atom were the size of the Earth, the proton at its center would only be about 200 meters, or for you Americans, 600 feet across. The universe as a whole is only 0.000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 of what we are is space, a gap. But I would hasten to add that this is not the same thing as nothing. Allow me to suggest that gaps are significant not because they represent an absence of matter, but because they contain a presence of something else, potential, defining boundaries, space to exist. And my point in using numbers with ridiculous numbers of places after decimals is not to do my math teacher father proud, but simply to illustrate that gaps are fundamental to the universe and who we are. Even though the message and sign are intended to warn, can we have the logo up, please? Are intended to warn of the dangers of gaps, it's important to remember that gaps can also be healthy, nourishing, and strengthening. For instance, as a musician, I'm constantly attentive to how silence is used to define sound. Not only how a composer or songwriter utilizes rests in their work, but in my opinion, one of the identifying characteristics of a truly great performer is how they manipulate silence, even on a sometimes very, very small scale, like the space between notes or words. Likewise, a good painter uses space on the canvas as thoughtfully as paint, and in the same vein, a truly great actor uses pauses and silence in their delivery as effectively. Anyone remember William Shatner? As their lines. Most team sports emphasize spacing on the court, rank, field, or pitch, and this awareness characterizes great athletes. The examples could go on and on, but the bottom line is this. A balance between sound and silence, activity and rest, and presence and absence is crucial to many areas of life, and I would argue, a truly balanced life. This idea of the gap being both a place and a time has a lot of significance to me. Both are needed to reflect on the past, be truly in the present moment, and fundamentally prepare our minds for the future. Frenetic activity is rarely, if ever, a good indicator of thoughtful living or happiness. Taking care of our gaps is easy to say, but gaps rarely just happen in our schedules. We have to work hard, sometimes really, really hard, to create time and space in our lives. It's almost like instead of saying mind the gap, we need to say tend the gap, or protect the gap, or even just fight like heck to get some semblance of a gap. Like a garden, which I know almost nothing about, but that won't stop me from using it as a metaphor, it absolutely demands regular attention, tending, weeding, and cultivation in order to successfully provide fertile ground for sustenance and nourishment. Sometimes finding time to meditate, go for a quiet walk, or simply close our eyes for a few moments, or do whatever it is we need, is extraordinarily hard. Rarely does anybody else tell us to do whatever our personal version of Mind the Gap is, and it's extremely important that we ourselves find ways to do this. Going back to how all this started with the London Underground, what creates gaps is that a moving object, a train, needs to match up with a stationary one, a platform. And due to lots of variables and imperfect processes, always leaves at least a small gap. This suggests to me that gaps in our life emerge, at least some of the time, as a result of simply getting from point A to point B, whether literally or figuratively. Whether these gaps create comfort or dissonance in life, and I think they can do both, the only way to avoid them altogether is to neither leave the train nor the platform. If a train either never stopped to let off passengers or if it never left the station, it would eliminate those pesky gaps, but would also eliminate our mobility. In other words, it's precisely the fact that moving between mobile and stationary spaces has the inevitable result of creating gaps. The only way to avoid this would be to live in constant motion. Sharks, I hear, can do this, but not so good for us. Or never move at all. We can't arrive at one station without having departed from another. What about the negative side of gaps? Sometimes gaps create tension or define conflict. Think here of phrases like the wage gap, the education gap, the gender gap. In this context, a gap becomes not just a difference, but an inequality, an injustice. If you mind, as I do, these gaps, then without question, these differences will present challenges and difficulties. The word is also often used to describe a chasm between people or groups of people who don't seem to be able to bridge a what? Gap. The idea of the gap being a space between two things that don't always seem easily connectable is perhaps not always a bad thing. Almost always, healthy and mutually maintained spaces are exactly what two entities need in order to thrive or even survive. Exhibit A, mulch. I used to bemoan the fact that sometimes graduating seniors I worked with at Lawrence took a gap year before going on to graduate school or employment because I thought it reflected poorly that we as an institution didn't prepare them very well for their next steps. But I now celebrate these decisions that require a certain amount of courage and self-awareness to diverge from what certain societal expectations isn't get a job, the ultimate grown-up thing to say. It's the perfect time to take that gap year that may be extremely difficult to do later in life. And yes, college can be a very busy time, 4 or 5 years or more, and a little time off isn't a bad idea. Perhaps one of the most powerful things about this phrase, mind the gap, is precisely that it is multifaceted. When, where, and how we pay attention to, are aware of, take care of, take precautions against gaps of time, space, culture, society is extraordinarily powerful and important. Sometimes we really do mind our bothered by gaps, and sometimes we mind tend to gaps. These changing meanings relate partly to circumstances, but I would also argue sometimes they're a matter of perspective. Much as a house flipper takes a rundown structure that others would see as an eyesore and makes it appealing and marketable to a prospective resident, modifying a gap from that which bothers or endangers to one that is healthy is not always possible, but at least worth exploring. Embracing the beauty and power of gaps is incredibly empowering, and let's face it, we're always going to be surrounded by gaps, so we might as well enjoy them when we can. While much of what I've been talking about so far relates to how each of us manages our own personal gaps, it's worth noting that the very reason we have this phrase in our heads is because it is a very public and cleverly marketed message intended to remind and help. Like many safety messages, it comes from a large entity as a service to individuals. The cynic would say that it was driven by lawyers, or should I say solicitors, to avoid lawsuits and escape culpability for personal carelessness. I'm guessing that prior to 1968, there was an epidemic of Londoners with twisted ankles, broken legs, or even worse, from the large numbers of people who didn't pay attention to where they were stopping when embarking or disembarking from the tube. Then, thanks to the audio message and signage, people actually started minding the gap, and accident rates dropped radically. The truth of it is, in all seriousness, that it never hurts to be reminded. While many of us regularly face deadlines, exhortations for greater productivity, more efficiency, or just generally a busier and faster-paced life, isn't it incredibly refreshing to hear a message that allows us, even if it deviates slightly from the original message's intent, to find peace, space, and repose? I have a Mind the Gap sign right by my door at home to remind me as I leave my home and enter the outside world, perhaps equivalent to departing the train and entering the station, of this message. And its location is central enough that I see it many times throughout my day as I just go about my life. I think the world would be a better place if we more frequently helped each other and reminded each other to mind and find gaps, both individually and in community. Much as we do when we have coffee with friends or just share downtime in the company of those we are comfortable with, or again, just sit in silence for a few moments. One of the most powerful parts of my week is when I participate in a Saturday morning sangha, of which it might be viewed from the outside as simply a group of people sitting in silence together. But I guarantee there's a very different effect when that silence is shared in an environment of peace, love, and support. It's worth noting that this group was the cauldron within this sermon was concocted, so many thanks to that group and all those in it. I was reminded of this last week when Reverend Christina, in talking about diversity, used as an example the fact that individual pieces of glass only become a mosaic when there's grout. Similarly, a stack of bricks is easily toppled, but when mortar is added between them, it becomes a strong wall. Gaps aren't just filling or dead space, but fundamentally important and crucial aspects to our physical, mental, and emotional lives. It's also important to acknowledge that some people have all the gaps they can handle in life. Whatever path we're on, I hope that all of you are able to find balance, and like the house flipper, if you need to do a little repair and updating to make your gaps the right size and fit, head to your favorite home improvement store and have at it. I'd like to close by suggesting that we truly need to mind the gap in the ways I described at the beginning. We need to, one, mind, pay attention to gaps. Attention and mindfulness go hand in hand, after all. We must, two, mind, take care of, because if we don't, who will? It stands to reason that we need to, three, mind, obey the gap, whether good or bad, they aren't going anywhere. And it's okay if we occasionally, four, mind, are bothered by gaps. It's only human nature. We face gaps of many kinds countless times per day. Sometimes getting out of bed is a significant gap we have to mind. There may be gaps between ourselves and other people that we need to navigate. But hopefully there are gaps that refresh us and give us happiness. Whatever types of good or challenging gaps we have, I hope that all are able to find balance. Like the house flipper, we may see potential where others see problems. And like the gardener, may we tend and nourish that within us, which provides sustenance and beauty. Whether gaps are chasms and divides or spaces of healing, restoration, and growth, I hope you can mind them in a way that gives you peace and happiness. Mind the gap.